I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the game of the year. Giannis versus KD. We'll tell you exactly what last night meant for the two best players in the world. Meanwhile, Buccaneer Bruce says bye-bye to Brady. Are we buying what they were selling at the send-off? You'll hear it and you'll make up your mind. Plus, sneaky, huge signing in the NFL yesterday. Did one team win the Super Bowl on the final day of March? We'll answer those questions and more as we get up with you on a Friday starting right now. Delighted you are there. Delighted they are here. Look at the squad. Graziano's back. Chris Long is back for more. And his old college teammate, Chris Canty, is blocking out that side of the room, which is unfortunate because that side of the room is awesome today. Take a look. Chinea Gubuke is back with us for the first time in too long. And Zach Lowe is ready to go as well. As we begin with maybe the game of the year in the NBA last night, the Bucks and the Nets in Brooklyn, and the two best players in basketball, Giannis versus KD, and what a matchup we had. Nets leading it early, and Kyrie Irving throwing it up, and KD throwing it down. KD at 26. Nets are up by 9, but Milwaukee not giving up. Just over 20 seconds to go. Three-point game. Oh, Giannis. That's his only three of the night, but it's a huge bucket. He would score 44. We're tied at 110. Next, Nets possession. This is Durant for the win. 3, 2, 1. It's always a shock when it doesn't go in. We're headed to overtime. Tied at 110. Under 20 seconds to go now. Nets are down by 2. Durant going up the floor. Going to get trapped in the corner. Going to get it to Kyrie. I want you to watch carefully in the corner. This is Wes Matthews who dives at KD. It's a foul on the 3. Also looks like he got under his feet there. KD wasn't thrilled with that afterwards as he's wincing in pain as he goes to the free throw line. He would make all 3. And here comes the 3rd one with the game tied at 118. So that gives Brooklyn a 1-point lead. Bucks are not going to use the timeout. Here we go. Giannis on a straight line to the basket. It's up and he's fouled, and it's a good call. The Nets don't like it, but it is a good call. It's not on Kevin Durant. It's him, on him. It's on Claxton, and it was a good call. Giannis would make both, and so the Nets get one more chance. Down by 1. KD for the win, and it doesn't go. That's 2 shots for KD that rim out that could have won it last night, and instead, it is Milwaukee behind the 44 from Giannis that get their 2nd statement win of the week. And speaking of making statements, what a week for Giannis against Philly and now Brooklyn, the two big teams in the East. He goes 40-10-5 in each of those games. He has been a distant 3rd in the MVP race, but as you see, he is coming on strong after this huge week and maybe puts himself squarely in that conversation. And so, again, Zach Lowe with us. And Chinea, I will start with you. This was billed going into it yesterday, the two best players in the world going head-to-head. What did Giannis prove last night?
He proved that he may not be, quote-unquote, the best player in the NBA, but he's right now the most dominant player in the NBA. I mean, you look at that stat line, 44-14. You see his free throw line, mm-hmm. like making double-digit free throws. This is the same playoff Giannis that got him a championship in Milwaukee. I just love that 3, though. I mean, did you see that? The, you know, drag back crossover, first ever go-ahead or game time 3 with 30 seconds left for Giannis Antetokounmpo. That forced me to tweet, which I never really tweet at night, but I tweeted Giannis evolution. The whole league is on notice based on what he did to the Nets, but more importantly, how he's playing versus the Eastern Conference playoff field right now. The Bucks have won 7 straight. They're trying to repeat as champions.
It was spectacular last night coming off, Zach, what was an equally spectacular performance in a showdown against Philly earlier in the week. So among the many things that are being sorted out right now are the MVP award for this season. Did Giannis move into the driver's seat this week?
Greeny, it's too early for me in the morning to feel nauseous out of anxiety out of an MVP vote. You got to take it easier. I mean, it's too early. Okay, forget that Philly game. Remember, he clinched it with a block on Embiid. Last night, Durant's miss at the end of regulation. There aren't many human beings who could unnerve Kevin Durant with a late double team at the end of regulation. Giannis is one of only 2 or 3 guys who could do it. So it's offense, defense, and as Chinee noted, The thing that should terrify the entire league is that he's making his free throws now. He's almost 75% at the line this season, and if he can carry that into the playoffs, there's just nothing you can do with him anymore. Look at the last play of the game. There was no play. It was just Giannis get ball, Giannis take ball, Giannis move ball to rim, get fouled, knock down free throws. Is he the MVP? Look, I've been saying all year, it's a three-man race. You got to include Giannis. I know it's boring. I know he's won before. I know Denver and Philly have both had to overcome unusual circumstances, but this guy is an absolute killer on both ends of the floor, and if he can hit free throws like this, there's just no answer. So I'm going down to the wire.
Well, you got a week left in this regular season to make that decision. In the meantime, you're looking at the MVP odds. Chrissy, if we have a chance, let's put up now the odds to win the Eastern Conference, because if last night was a preview of an Eastern Conference playoff series, maybe even an Eastern Conference final, I'll sign for 7 of those. And as of that game, the Bucks have now moved into a tie for the favorites with the Nets. Brooklyn has been the favorite in the East, according to Caesars, for as long as I can remember. The Bucks have moved into a tie. Right now, Chennai, if those teams play each other 7 times in late May, who wins? Who wins?
The easy answer, the Bucks, just because they have, you know, fewer questions, they have more answers, and they know who they are. One thing I love is that the X factor so far, and we learned this last season, Drew Holiday. I mean, he's been able to commandeer and, you know, run the point guard position and also defend, you know, other guards with his size so well that Giannis can be, a free safety out there in the back and just, you know, rim protect. Defensively, they've got things on lock. Chris Middleton has been coming on ever since it turned from March to April. And then Giannis is the most dominant player, because one thing I love about Giannis, his energy is contagious. The way he plays, he never takes a possession off, and it shows. It's rubbed off on his team. They're peaking at the right time. And so I've got the Bucks. I think we've all known that, like, they're exactly where they want to be. Defending champs, flying under the radar and playing their best basketball right now.
So I've been on Brooklyn. Literally every person I've had in here this week has taken Milwaukee. Zach, you are my last chance. Brooklyn, Milwaukee in a 7-game series. Who wins?
Welcome to the party, Vegas. Where have you been? Ever since the James Harden, Kyrie Irving situations went haywire, and it was clear that the Nets we all thought we were going to get were just going to be a theoretical dream team that we were never actually going to get, Milwaukee has been the safest pick on the board. It's not fun. It's not sexy to pick the champs. The answer is the Bucks. The Bucks are the favorites in the East. Period. End of story. Sorry, Greeny.
Well, as I've said many times, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Or in this case, when Brooklyn shocks all of you in May and winds up making the final. All right, there's a little extra spring in Chennai's step today, and that's because Stanford is playing in the Final Four tonight. We will have plenty of time to talk about that and more as we go. But now to the NFL. It was a big day yesterday, and Tom Brady was there as Bruce Arians met with reporters and explained his decision to step down as head coach of the Buccaneers. Arians also addressing the rumors/reports of a rift with Brady. Here's what he said.
Going through all that process, trying to build next year's team without Tom. But then when Tom said he'd come back, it's like, now it's easy. Now it's easy. We're in the best shape we've ever been. It's no better time to pass the torch than now. We have a great relationship. I mean, all the players who are there, are a few in here, every one of them's gotten cussed out. As soon as he retired, I think we text every week. Hey, where you at? What are you doing? When are you going to play golf? When are you getting back down this way? And it couldn't be further from the truth.
And for what it's worth, Brady was one of the players who was there. He was sitting right in the front. So, Graziano, there is some skepticism, and it sort of hurts to say everyone loves Bruce Arians. He is a very well-liked person for a lot of good reasons in the NFL. But there is some skepticism about the way they're portraying this.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm a skeptic by nature and by trade, as it turns out. But, I mean, so it's hard to believe everything's as rosy as they're saying, because the timing of it's weird, right? But, you know, I thought, well, why did it take so long after Brady came back? But then I realized it's only been 2.5 weeks since Brady came back. It's just like 5 years worth of stuff has happened in the NFL in that time. So, look, everybody's telling me the same thing, which is, you know, this is clean, this is what they're saying is true, and he just really wants to elevate Todd Bowles and give him an opportunity. And if that's the case, then it should be noted that Bruce Arians is the guy in the NFL that walks the walk when it comes to minority coach hiring, which is a significant problem the league is facing right now. But, you know, he has been a proponent of Todd Bowles. He's been a proponent of Byron Leftwich. He has put women on his coaching staff before anybody else was doing that. And so I think based on his record, we can take him at his word that at least part of, if not all of the motivation was, here's Todd Bowles' next head coaching opportunity, and it's a really good one. It's not a rebuilding job with, you know, the Jaguars or, no offense, the Jets, you know, a team that where the job comes open because the team's no good. So I think that's a bigger part of the story than it's being given credit for.
I believe the Jets have taken offense, but I understand the point that you are making.
Isn't that the team he coached?
It is well taken. It is the team that he coached. He had one good year there. And so, Chris, I will ask you, Chris Canty, I have to specify which Chris I'm talking about today.
Yeah.
I haven't had you here yesterday. Are you accepting the way this is all being positioned, that Tom Brady is not the driving factor for Bruce Arians no longer being the coach in Tampa?
Yeah, I buy it, G, because of what Bruce Arians said. His succession plan is important to him, and he's been an advocate for diversity, as Dan pointed out. So on its face, I believe what they said. But the thing that's interesting to me about all of this is Todd Bowles is inheriting a championship contender. This is a much different situation, his second go-round, than what he had with the New York Jets, mm-hmm. which was an absolute awful situation. Now, he did well in his first year, but he was inheriting a top-10 defense from Rex Ryan in the year prior. Since that first year, Todd Bowles did not have a defense the remaining 3 years in the top 10 in terms of points or yards. And so I'm curious to see the lessons that he learned from his first head coaching stint, and whether or not he's going to be able to improve on being able to manage the entire team. That becomes the question, because let's face it, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, really good defense, championship contender, that is the expectation. But Todd Bowles being the head man, you have to wonder, is that going to detract from his ability to call plays? And if the reports are out there that he's going to maintain play calling responsibility.
Yeah.
So I want to see how Todd Bowles does in terms of managing all of it.
It will be interesting. And obviously they are a Super Bowl favorite because Tom Brady is their quarterback, first and foremost. And so, Chris Long, I felt like yesterday you were sort of right on the edge of buying the way all this was being positioned. Now that you saw and heard everything everybody said, what is your perspective?
Well, a lot could have happened between today and Selection Sunday when Tom Brady ruined Selection Sunday. That's why he's not ready for retirement. Like, that's what everybody does at 45. They sit down on Selection Sunday, they enjoy it. He didn't do that. He ruined it for us. Since then, I think a lot could happen. I think it's probably more of a nudge than a push, if anything. I think, as I said, everybody wins in this situation. I think Brady wins. He's the closest thing to a coordinator on the field probably in NFL history, right? You know, Todd Bowles wins. He deserves this job. He deserves a second opportunity. And he deserves a good job, right? So he gets that. And then Bruce Arians continuing his legacy, going out the right way. I think everybody wins here. It's the rare win, win, win.
Perhaps. And yeah. Then we'll see if they're able to parlay it into a win at the end of January. Yes.
Just want to add Byron Leftwich to this, too. This is a huge opportunity for him, right? He's already a strong head coach candidate. And if they have a big year on offense, he could be the leading head coach candidate this time next January.
We will see. But from one huge NFC contender to another, sneaky big, and maybe not even that sneaky, move yesterday. 8-time Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner agreeing to terms on a 5-year deal with the Rams, joining a defense that already has Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They've got 3 potential Hall of Famers on that defense, 1 at each level of the defense. And as for their standing in the NFC, they're still 3rd, according to Caesars, right behind the Packers and the Buccaneers. Seattle, by the way, was the last NFC team to make the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. Bobby Wagner was one of the best players on that defense when they did it. And so I will turn to you and I will ask the same question. Yesterday, when you were here for the first time, Chris, I was asking, where do you put these teams in the pecking order of the NFC? How much of a difference does Bobby Wagner make? What does that mean for the Rams as far as their chances?
Well, I think the football difference is untold. Anytime you have a player with a lot of mileage, over 30, he played physical football for a long time in Seattle. You don't know what you're going to get. I think he's going to help them on the field, but where I think he really helps them is having done this. You know, the reason I like the Bucks and the Niners even more than the Rams, rather, is because of that law of averages that says you don't get back there the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And Seattle, Bobby Wagner had an opportunity to play in back-to-back Super Bowls. They were a play away.
Yep.
He knows what that takes. He's also a guy that's going to help them in leadership, and he's motivated.
So let's use this to jump into our picks. Who do you think is the team to beat in the NFC as of right now? Pardon me. We'll do it quickly. Chris, we're starting with you. Who's the team to beat?
It's the Bucs, unless Tom Brady retires again.
Okay. We'll see. He's got the final 4 to try and do it this weekend. Dan Graziano.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Packers again because I guess I'll never learn. I still think Rodgers and that division sets up so that they should be able to come out of it with a lot of wins and possibly the one seed again. One of these years it'll work.
Canty.
Dan, you got to quit that narcotic. It's not going to be I'm going with the champs, the Los Angeles Rams. Until somebody proves me otherwise, I'm rolling with them. I love the fact that they added Bobby Wagner. They've got three first-team All-Pros on every level of their defense. The last team to ever do that was the Dallas Cowboys in the early 70s. How'd that work out for them?
Yeah. Wow.
That was America's team.
Speaking of the Cowboys, they're my pick because it's the offseason, and they're always the best team in the NFL during the offseason. They will be dominant in July and August. Then when September rolls around is when the trouble usually begins. Coming up, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Help wanted. They need to hang a sign outside. Could the Packers be about to bring in high-powered help to replace Devontae Adams? You need to hear the names. Plus, is there trouble in the city of brotherly love? Wait till you hear what the coach had to say about James Harden's performance last night. You're going to like it. It's a Friday and we're revved up. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Moon Knight. Don't miss the 6-episode event now streaming only on Disney+. All right, so Caesars came out with their win totals yesterday. We'll play more or less, or for Graziano's sake, more or fewer, because that always bothers him so much. Here we go. Starting with Tampa Tom and the Bucks. 11.5 is the over-under on wins, more or less.
It bothers me. Are we doing the show in English or are we not? It's fewer. Fewer than 11.5. 12's a lot of wins. And look, I mean, the changes on the offensive line, changes on the coaching staff. Some guys on defense that still need to be replaced. I believe in Tom Brady, but he is going to be 45. I'm going to say fewer than 11.5.
Canty, we go to Dallas. 10.5 wins is the over-under there, more or less.
I'm fading the Cowboys. I'm going less, G. And their offensive line, as constituted, is an absolute mess. They cut Lyle Collins. They lost Connor Williams in free agency. And Tyron Smith hasn't stayed healthy for a full season since 2015. Not to mention, you lose two key contributors at wide receiver, and Randy Gregory is gone. I just don't see it. They were 6-0 against the NFC East last year. Only one game over 500 against all other opponents. That just ain't good enough. Fade the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with that one. Chris Long, Green Bay, 11.5, more or less.
More. Packers fans, relax. Another dose of relax. Your division's terrible. I'm not saying you're going to win the Super Bowl, but your division's pretty bad. And as long as you take care of the Vikings, which is not a given, and those pass rushers and Dalvin Cook, you'll be okay.
So let me, you're being here, and again, Chris is just new to our little team here, and we're delighted to have you. I have not had a chance to ask you your take on this. It's been a very eventful offseason, obviously, for Green Bay, with all of the Rodgers drama finally resulting in him staying, gets the big contract, and then the stunner. They trade away Devontae Adams. Give me a big picture thought on Green Bay.
Well, I think they'll be okay. I mean, they're 7-0 without Devontae Adams. They score over 30 points a game in those games. I mean, a lot of people would like to have that offense. Mm-hmm. It feels like they fought the Trojan War and got Randall Cobb out of it. I don't know if that makes them like Helena Troy or something. But, like, legitimately, that's what you have to show for. And it's kind of been a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think it'll hurt them in the run game a little bit without Devontae Adams, because what they did is they got the ball out on the perimeter. You know, like in the new NFL, a lot of the ways to get your run game going is to get the ball to your playmaker. You're not going to have that artistic kind of back shoulder throw connection that they had, but they can work around it. They will. They've done it before. I just don't think they have that top end scary without him. Another thing is you lose Luke Getsy to Chicago. Yeah. He's a big deal there. And then the coordinator. It's just Lazard's not signed. There's a bunch of loose ends they haven't tied.
So the division is probably the thing they have going for them more than anything else. And well, the possibility of, yes, correct. And Rodgers is pretty good too. But we have spent all week talking about all the rookies they may draft. Could there be any other way they replace Devontae Adams?
Sure. I mean, there are free agents out there. I mean, if they were to sign Odell Beckham and we found out he was going to be available early in the season, that would change the outlook on Green Bay, right? I mean, if Seattle decides it's not going to be able to sign DK Metcalf and they have to do with him what they did with Russell Wilson and he lands in Green Bay. So there are ways you can go in terms of wide receivers that could still be available. There are other teams looking. Obviously, Kansas City's in a similar boat, but Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, said this week at the owners' meetings that they have to add. He's stating the obvious. I think there are other moves coming there for Green
Bay. Chris Canty, let me ask you that. Do you believe that the Packers, in order to get to the Super Bowl, which is the only standard by which a player like Rodgers is going to be measured at this point, do they need to make that kind of move? Can they draft receivers and decide they're okay, or do they need to do something more drastic like what Graz is talking about?
Well, I think it should be a combination of the two. I don't think it should be one or the other. Now, what I will say is it's fascinating to think that Brian Gutekunst, after locking up Aaron Rodgers, is going to be under more pressure because they've got four picks in the first two rounds in a deep wide receiver draft. So the pressure's on him to pick the right guy, and you want to see or you want to believe that he's capable of doing what we saw the Cincinnati Bengals do last year or what we saw the Minnesota Vikings do the year before, drafting Jamar Chase, drafting Justin Jefferson. If you can add a weapon like that for Aaron Rodgers, then all of a sudden you're talking about them being able to have that top-end success and win in the postseason,
which is what it's all about. The ones you see on your screen, these are the top receivers in this year's NFL draft. Jameson Williams would be on top of that list if it wasn't for a knee injury. But I'll say it again. I like Graz's idea. Take some of those picks you just talked about, send them to Seattle, and get DK Metcalf. To me, that would make an enormous difference. We'll talk more about that as we go, but I got to point out. So Orlovsky, our buddy Dan, was watching the show yesterday, and Chris Long, he had this thought. He said, I see that Chris Long is rocking the mullet. He suggested that you had a mullet for your hair, and I noticed that you responded, it's called a waterfall, Dan.
Yeah, it's a waterfall, Dan. That's not the term we use. And, you know, I chopped 2-3 inches off this mane to be professional and come up here, and I want to speak right into the camera, which I'm having a hard time doing, right finding the camera. This is my second day on the job. Dan, you have no style, dude. This is a medium.
Wow. Whoa. Dan,
this is a
wow.
This is style. This is a medium cascade. This isn't like a Garden Minshew. This is still a waterfall, though, and we don't use the word mullet.
Yeah, I would say it's more Pat Riley than Joe Dirt, but in Central Virginia, Dan needs to understand that the term mullet is offensive.
Yeah, it's offensive.
You have to understand, no one's better at getting on the show when he's not on it than Orlovsky.
Oh,
he finds a way. He finds a way.
Dan finds a way.
Every time.
Dan finds a way.
It's Friday, Dan. He's a legend. Coming up. Oh, the disrespect for Patrick Mahomes. Did he just get bulletin board material for an entire season? Could it be that he's going to go torch everyone in response? You will hear what it is in just a moment. Plus, what the actual heck is going on with James Harden? Another awful night? His coach is calling him out? Is it falling apart in Philly? You'll see it all next. It's Get Up on ESPN. And look at the hair. The man's got the good hair.
Yeah,
I like
bad,
it.
Not
I'm
bad.
Good with it.
Yeah. Not a flat top, but.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A couple former MVPs head to head. Antetokounmpo, step back three for the tie. Got it! We are going to overtime. It's a three. It's off. And a foul. Durant for the lead. Giannis to the line. Needs one to tie. Two for the lead. 44 points for Antetokounmpo. It's Durant for the win. Milwaukee has won it in overtime.
We opened with it. It might have been the game of the year last night. Milwaukee with an overtime, a thrilling overtime win behind 44 from Giannis in Brooklyn. Chinay's with us today. And Jay Will makes his way over from ESPN Radio. And I wanted to get, before we get to other matters, just a quick take from you. What a week. Giannis with the enormous performance against Philly and the enormous performance last night. What did he prove?
So everybody talks about Jokic, you know, leading the MVP candidate. I'm looking at him saying he had 40 and 14 versus Joel Embiid, had that block down the stretch. He beat up on KD last night to a degree, 44 points, 16 rebounds, 50%+ shooting from the field. He is going to be having the opportunity on a national platform to go against the best of the best down the stretch, where he could have a legit chance to win MVP over Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a voter for the first time, and I watched that last night, and I thought to myself, I might have to change my mind based on the week that he's having. We'll see where these teams wind up at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. Quickly before I get to the next point. Right now, we just saw these two teams go head-to-head.
This question.
Seven games in May. These two teams head-to-head. Who wins?
What? Oh, I'm still giving it to the Bucks. I think the Bucks are the most complete team in the NBA. And Chris Middleton, you don't believe it? Why are you shaking your head?
No, because I can't find anyone to pick Brooklyn. I'm the only person picking the Nets. Every person on the show has picked Milwaukee all week long, including Chinay and Zach Lowe at the beginning of the show today.
I think there's some defensive issues there for the Nets. And I understand how prolific they can be, but I think the Bucks are the complete team.
All right, we will see. In the meantime, Chinay, I want you to take me through what happened to Philly last night, because this is another one of the contenders that is supposed to be rising right now in that Eastern Conference, and Philly is playing Detroit. That's a game that's supposed to be a gimme, but it is not. Not because Joel Embiid didn't do his part. He had 37 and 15. Take a look.
Look, good players have moves. Great players have counter moves. That pump fake is a great counter for his mid-range, and look, he's aggressive and one of the best attacking the rim.
So he did his part, and so did Cade Cunningham, the number one overall pick. He had 27.
And he's really been exploding. You know, in March, he averaged about 23, 6, and 4, something like that. I mean, if he was healthy the entire season, you'd be talking more about him as Rookie of the Year potential. But look, when you make a mistake, they convert easily, the Detroit Pistons.
That mistake was made by James Harden on the other end, and that's really the story of this game. Harden shot 4 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 9 from 3. Pistons get the win, and listen to Doc Rivers after the game.
Well, they didn't struggle. You know, they didn't get a lot of shots, you know, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, that's just a tough night.
Let's be clear. He was asked about the bench struggling, and he said, no, it wasn't the bench. It was mostly James. What do we – I'll give you the numbers again. He was 4 of 15, 2 of 9 from 3.
It wasn't just that, though, Janae. I mean, he said that the bench didn't get a lot of shots.
Right.
So that goes – here's my thing. You know, Doc Rivers is always real with you now. He'll tell you what's on his mind. He told you what was on his mind with Ben Simmons. He's telling you what's on his mind right now with James Harden. If you look at the last six games, James Harden has been horrendous down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And it turns into this. And everybody sits around and they watch the James
almost
Harden
like
show.
Houston ball.
Exactly. Almost. And that's not the way they need to play. And it minimizes how Joel Embiid should be on the floor.
Janae, if you're a Sixers fan this morning, as the gentleman named Hembo behind you is, how are we feeling about James Harden right this minute as we head into the playoffs?
I'm not feeling great, just because in big matchups, you think that the Sixers after the trade would be winning these games. And this is what's going to be that championship piece. But I actually like what Coach Rivers did. You have to call him out, because, you know, if you have one issue with James Harden, you know, he's been an MVP. He can get you 20 to 30 any night. It's what he does in the playoffs. And you almost risked it all to get him in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of start poking the bear and say, this is important, because what we've seen is a season of Joel Embiid almost largely for most of the season be front runner for MVP. Capitalize on that with James Harden.
Here's what I will say, though. Does it feel like it might be setting something up? Because we all know who made that deal. Daryl Morey made that deal. Daryl Morey and James Harden are like this. If this thing goes south, I believe it is the coach and not James Harden who will be the one who's no longer there.
You know the difference between Milwaukee and Philly is when I look at Giannis last night after he, you know, won the scoring title for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
yeah,
they handed him the ball. My man didn't smile. He didn't cheer. It was like, yo, I got more I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they're running towards the number one seed. And if they see Brooklyn, so be it.
As the defending champ running towards the number one seed.
Well, exactly. But when I look at Philly, it kind of feeds into that conspiracy theory. And I'm going to play into it. You lose to Detroit last night. Detroit with six games left to go in the season. Like, are you just trying to get out of the way of playing the Brooklyn Nets and not get that top seed? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it that I will admit I hadn't considered, because all these, the 10 playoff teams in the East are set. How they're going to be aligned is, I mean, practically any combination of events could still take place over this last week and change. But Chennai, I will just ask you, as we sort of analyze the big teams in the Eastern Conference, where is Philly?
Philly is right in the middle of the pack. At one point, I thought that this trade would put them over the edge and make them real contenders, because if you look at the top, I mean, anyone could have been a top team in the East this year, which shows you the increased parity. But I think that they have to prove to themselves that they want to play. Joel Embiid has done that. He's answered the question. Now, I've always said the big, you know, X factor is going to be the supporting cast, which includes James Harden wanting to play motivated basketball and make teammates better. If he took one lesson from Brooklyn, it's that he can be a capable passer. He can run an offense. I think he has to rely on that Brooklyn basketball, bring that to Philly, make sure he keeps Joel Embiid in that MVP mindset, and bring the best out of his teammates. And I think that's what Doc Rivers was trying to say. Hey, wake up. I'm watching you.
Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston, Miami. Is that at least four teams that we like better than Philly right now in the East Conference playoffs? Forget where they all wind up seated.
I might throw in Toronto in that exchange to a degree.
Ooh.
Too. I like the way Toronto defends.
And they're playing well as of late, yeah.
It's like that's where we're at.
We'll have more on this as we go. But both of these two are a little fired up today, because Chennai's got Stanford playing tonight, and then Jay Will has got Duke and Carolina tomorrow night in what might be the greatest Final Four matchup of all time. Duke, Carolina. These two first played this year in February. That was in Chapel Hill. Duke never trailed in that game. They won by 20, their largest win on the road in this series since 2002. But then, the game that sort of changed everything in early March, the rematch in Durham, Coach K's final home game. Duke had the lead at the half. Carolina spoiled the party, scoring 55 in the second half to win by 13. And so now, tomorrow night, for the first time ever, these schools will meet in the NCAA tournament. It is the 258th all-time meeting between these two. And what can I tell you? The games always deliver. Since Coach K became the coach of Duke in 1980, this will be the 100th game. Take a look at how close that is. It's almost impossible to believe. And Carolina could make it an even 50-50 and end Krzyzewski's career in the worst possible way. Jay doesn't even want to hear it. Here's my Uncle Seth, no relation, Seth Greenberg. Seth, what is on the line tomorrow night for Coach K in this game? If he wins the championship this year, what does it mean?
He joins Nick Saban as the all-time greatest collegiate coach of any sport. You're talking about a 6th national championship, obviously 3 Olympic gold medals. Saban's got 7 national championships, 2 different schools. He'll join Nick Saban as the greatest collegiate coach of our generation. I eliminate John Wooden because you know what? It's a different generation, 16 teams in the tournament. All different factors. Both Saban and Coach K, you talk about agility, you talk about changing with the times, you talk about changing your system, how you're going to communicate with your players. To me, these two guys will separate themselves. But he's got to win that 6th one to join Saban, because Saban has separated himself. 7 national titles, 2 different schools.
Yeah, Seth, well, take out the whole collegiate thing. I mean, he puts himself in the category for best coaches of any sport in all time. You think about with Bill Belichick, you think about Nick Saban, Phil Jackson. He's in that upper echelon of conversations with number 6.
I completely agree. And it is yet another layer that goes into the stew, if you will, of what might be the most compelling Final Four game that we have ever seen. And I know that I sometimes am the master of the overstatement, but I don't think you can overstate the significance of this. And so, Jay, how do we describe the pressure on these kids? I mean, you can barely barely breathe, and you're not even playing. How do you describe, as a former player, the pressure on these kids going out there tomorrow night?
Well, take away the rivalry thing, and I think that's even hard for people to understand, even though Eric Church has canceled his concert
right.
in order to see the play, right? It's the fact that this is Coach K's last hurrah.
Right.
That's where this thing is so monumental. But I do think there's an element for these guys where they've said, screw it, Greeny. Like, it is what it is. We just have to play. And I told Seth this on our show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, where it's like there's something about the way we lost. I say we. The way we lost at home to Carolina, where this is now personal. This is just not a basketball game. I don't like you to begin with because you are a rival, but you took away a monumental moment for our program. You took away a monumental moment for our coach, and it was the best thing to ever happen to us. So that personal aspect, I want to see that translated to the court tomorrow.
What do you think, Seth?
I disagree. It puts greater pressure because it comes about Coach K and not about winning a championship. It comes about defending Coach K's honor. And I know Coach K is all about creating causes, and that's great. He's creating a cause, obviously. But to me, the amount of pressure, the similar to pressure with those 90 players sitting behind that bench with the expectation you've got to win Coach K's last game in Cameron, that's the same pressure. The NCAA tournament, there's finality for everyone. I've got North Carolina winning this game, Greeny, and I got North Carolina winning this game. Jay Will, relax, take a deep
you
breath.
Just had I'm done Duke with you. Winning it on my show. What are you talking about? Don't you flip flop for TV?
I'm just telling you. Here's the deal, Jay Will. Carolina's a different team. The most important matchup: Jeremy Roach, R.J. Davis. I like city guards. I like New York city guards. I like a city guard that can get in the lane, make a play, and make the game easier for someone else. R.J. Davis is just different. His ability to create, get downhill off that middle-high ball screen. Duke better change their ball screen coverage a little bit, because if they don't, this guy is going to light it up. The other matchup is Manek and Bancaro. Obviously, Bancaro could score it, but Bancaro's got to defend Brady Manek. And then finally, the defense. The defense at North Carolina playing right now is absolutely next level. Only giving up 66 points a game in the tournament. 36 and 26 from the field. I like what Carolina's doing. I just, you know, look, take a deep breath. I know you're a little nervous. You're a little
uptight. Bring me out on the gym.
But the defense these guys are playing is at another
level.
Bring me out
on the gym.
Go ahead, Jay.
Bring me out on the gym. Where's the gym? Give me with my man Greeny right here.
Yeah.
Seth, I will make you the same bet I made Vince Carter yesterday, and he didn't take it. And I'm curious if you would take it. If Duke wins, I want you to wear a Duke bib and a Duke pacifier. And you have to wear it on national TV on this show. And you have to come on here and say, Duke, you're my daddy. If you think North Carolina's going to win, you take this hit, too.
Wait a second.
I put it to Vince. I'll put it to you.
What's
take
the reverse? Wait
take
a second.
I'll whatever,
take
what do you want me to do?
What do you,
what do you want
do?
Me to do?
Oh, boy.
I'm waiting.
You've got a lot of bibs and pacifiers.
I do. I got two little kids under three, yes.
Your house. We'll go the other way
I'll
around.
Do it, you get
so salty. You get so salty when Duke plays Carolina. Duke
no,
and Carolina.
No, I get salty because literally 20 minutes ago on my show, you said you had Duke winning, and now
know,
you're changing it up for Greeny on Get Up.
I don't want to deal with you. I've had enough of you.
Fair enough. it's interesting. The Duke Carolina guys going at it. I just have a suspicion that your wager with Michael Jordan this game might be a little different from this, right?
Why would I bet big bank? I'm not doing that.
Might be a little different from that.
Stay
good luck
away.
Tomorrow night, my man. Good
Seth?
Luck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here it comes this
Duke.
Weekend. We will see what happens. And then tonight, don't forget the women's Final Four. And we'll get into this with Shanae as we continue. From Minneapolis, we got Louisville and South Carolina in the early game. And then UConn and Stanford. It's all streaming live as well on the ESPN app. What a weekend we have coming your way here on ESPN. All right, coming up, is Patrick Mahomes' reign over the AFC West about to end? Or can the Chiefs win the division and a Super Bowl without their most dynamic threat? We'll answer that question next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and it's time for Overreaction Friday with Dan Graziano. So this is the part of the show where I will say something that I feel like people are generally saying, and Graziano will tell us whether that something is or isn't an overreaction. So if people were to say, Mike McCarthy is not going to finish this season as the head coach of the Cowboys. Is that an overreaction?
I say it is an overreaction. Even if this were to be Mike McCarthy's final season with the Cowboys, and they'd have to have a bad year in order for that to be the case, I don't think Jerry Jones would pull the plug during the season. His recent track record on this stuff indicates strongly otherwise.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see. Again, this is their best time of year here, March, April. They're good then. Next, if I were to say the Packers will draft a receiver in the first round, is that an overreaction?
I say it's not an overreaction, and that's hard for me to say because I really do believe in historical trends, and only once since 1988 have the Green Bay Packers selected a wide receiver in the first round, but this is a special circumstance. They have the extra pick. I think it's a strong chance they look at one of these
Who
guys.
Was the one receiver?
Who is the one receiver?
Hembo will get it
Hembo
for us. That is
coffee.
An interesting note. It's been a long time. Patrick Mahomes. What's that?
Javon Walker.
Right, one
Thank
more.
You.
If I were to
Memorable.
Say Patrick Mahomes will have his worst season because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore, would that be an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I still trust Mahomes and Andy Reid to get this figured out. I think, you know, they'll look different. They'll have to operate differently. Tyreek Hill is the scariest guy in the league to opposing defensive coordinators, but I think the Chiefs have something up their sleeve.
All right, well, we'll see. I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs for a minute. Let's take a look at their win total yesterday. Again, Caesars released all the win totals, and they put them at just 10.5. It seems like a small slight considering they've won at least 12 games in each of the past four seasons, and three of those four, the season was only 16 games long, and now it is 17 games long. So that suggests, Chris Long, as you join us here today and this week for the first time, that Vegas thinks the departure of Tyreek Hill is really going to hit Kansas City. I know they weren't the one seed last year, but they've been the best team in the AFC the last 4 years. Are they still?
I don't think they're the best team in the AFC, but they're dangerous because they have that guy right there, number 15. He's transcendent. He shouldn't have to outscore people every year of his career. Brady didn't have to do that. He didn't have to outscore people every year of his career. Mm-hmm. I think they're a physical football team. I know that from experience playing against them. My brother played there. They run a tight ship. This is now Joe Thuney's team. This is Creed Humphrey's team. This is Trey's team. These are the big guys that have to move the football for them in the run game. They have to change what they do. They were fourth in efficiency running the football, 31st in frequency. Run the football. Take the profit. Juju has to be big.
To be clear, the players you just named are all offensive linemen, and I feel, Chris Canty, like as we go back to last season, that was a common theme here, is that a lot of you guys who would be on the show would say to me, Kansas City can run the ball, they should run the ball, they just won't run the ball. Do we expect them to become a team now that starts majoring in running the ball?
Well, they should, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be Andy Reid's forte. But I have the full confidence in Andy Reid that he's going to be able to have a successful offense. 7 of the 9 seasons that he's been there, he's had a top 10 scoring offense. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to whether or not the Chiefs' window is still open, I absolutely think it is. They've won the division 6 straight years. Pat Mahomes has only been the quarterback for 4 of them. So Andy Reid knows what he's doing. They haven't had a losing season since he's been there, and they only missed the playoffs once. So in Andy Reid, I trust. I do agree with my former teammate Chris Long. They're not the team to beat in the AFC. That belongs to the Buffalo Bills, the only team in the NFL last year to have a top 5 offense and a top 10 defense. But Kansas City is damn good, and you're going to have to contend with them.
I'm thinking back to it here, and I'm remembering that Cincinnati game that they lost in the AFC Championship and all of the conversation coming out of that one. Why didn't they run the ball? It was there for them to do, and they just wouldn't do it. So, Dan Graziano, the other piece on them is I've had several of your colleagues, our other insiders this week, telling me that Kansas City is out there beating the bushes and trying to find some help.
Sure.
It may not just be in the draft that they try to replace Tyreek Hill.
Sure, and you've already seen them bring in Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But look, they know they're going to have to operate differently and probably add a piece at wide receiver. We listed some options for the Packers earlier in the show, and those same options exist for the Chiefs. So, yeah, I think they're out beating the bushes for a wide receiver. I think if there's a big wide receiver move to be made, Kansas City looks like a team that is poised and willing to make it.
And, Dan, to your point, Kansas City's got a lot of draft capital to be able to do it. They've got 8 draft picks in the first 4 rounds. So with this draft coming up, Brett Veach, he's got his work cut out for him, but he's got the ammunition to get it done.
The model is the Minnesota-Buffalo trade from a couple years ago where Minnesota sent Stephon Diggs to Buffalo and then drafted Justin Jefferson with the pick they got. That would obviously be a great thing for the Chiefs to be able to repeat.
All right, we'll see if they can do it again. The Chiefs and the Packers, both teams that lose star receivers this offseason, we'll see if either or both are able to replace them. In the meantime, as we go through some more of these over-under win totals, I've got the one for the Jets here. You know, I'm always interested in that. and it's at 15.5. I've got the Jets here, the win, the over-under wins.
Backwards.
What's that?
I think it's like the other thing. It's like 2.5 or 3.5.
Oh, this is a typo on my page. 5.5? Well, it seems ridiculous. They should accomplish that in the first 6 weeks of the season. Chris Canty, 5.5, the over-under on total. I honestly thought it was 15.5. Someone wrote that on my piece of paper here. It says 15.5.
I think that's the losses, but, you know, shout out Joe Douglas. He can fix it.
No, you haven't been here long enough to be making Jets jokes. Let's just make it very clear.
Well, I did play for the Patriots for a second, so we've been making Jets jokes.
All the more reason why you're not welcome to making Jets jokes on the show. 5.5 wins, over-under, says Chris Canty.
I'm going to go over, man. I believe in Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas and the way that they want to build this football team. Look at what they've done with their offensive line. If they continue to build on that part of their team and then surrounding Zach Wilson with the requisite talent, I have the confidence that they can go over that.
That's right. We signed that guy and another guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, we should be very good this year.
Yeah, a bunch of guys.
They should go. I think they will hit that over in September, and which is impossible because they're only playing 4 games, and yet they will somehow find a way to do it. By the way, we got hockey coming your way tomorrow. Our ABC Hockey Saturday matinee has Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in Colorado to take on the top team in the NHL. The action starts 3 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Coming up here, an instant classic between the Nets and the Bucks. Did Giannis win the MVP last night? And if this was a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals, what did it tell us? We'll answer those questions as we roll on. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.